Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. Today, I have with us Steve Whittington, who is the president of Roadmap Agency, which is an agency that serves B2B enterprises. So today we're going to be discussing Steve's journey of building Roadmap Agency and, you know, some challenges he's had to overcome along the way and what that journey has looked like. So thanks for joining us today, Steve.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be a ton of fun.
Yes, I agree. So to get started, I'll ask you a few questions just so that our listeners can get to know you a little bit. Does that sound good?
Fantastic.
All right. So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
That's a great question. Like, why did you get into the agency world? Mm-hmm. When I looked at So I call myself a recovering executive. So I spent over 20 years being an executive for a big enterprise. But I was fascinated with the smaller enterprise world as an underpinning for, you know, the value prop of our society. So, you know, there's, when you look at how many small businesses, which is essentially under 100 employees, that there are in Canada, and the US would have similar stats, and UK would have similar stats. It's like 90. Over 99% of all businesses are small businesses, and they represent 90% of private employment. And so those ones, though, they need a level of support. And that's where our bigger enterprises come. And that's where all our growth in our society. And that's a massive amount of our tax base, which then funds our social contract to, you know, keep our society healthy and happy. And so as I was thinking around, well, what can I do to make an impact in the world that I live? It's like, help those businesses. And that's where the idea of Roadmap came about. A lot of agencies really specialize in, you know, like software, like a point solution. You know, they focus on either demand gen or brand, or they're creative. And, and there is an evolution occurring of the quote full service agency. I felt there was something different that was needed. That was more like you needed to start with a strategy and drive the business goals in which the tactics of marketing and sales and customer experience would enable that strategy. And that's the missing piece, that like almost like a fractional C-suite that those small companies needed. That wasn't, there are groups out there that do that, but there wasn't a lot of them. And, and that was the motivation, was to be able to help that group reach their goals. I mean, only 4% of businesses get over $1 million, and only 0.1% of businesses get over $10 million. And if we could move the needle and get more people north of that $10 million, you're going to have a society that is better funded by the social contract. That is what our democracies live in. And so that's my why. And I found some business partners that said, hey, let's do this. This would be a ton of fun.
That's awesome. I love it. So you really help your clients to really dig in, figure it out what their goals are, and then put together a custom plan so that you can help them to reach their objectives.
Right. And we provide a suite of services, or we can execute projects that will enable them, whether they need some technology projects, whether they need sales planning, whether they need processes, whether they need to refresh or create a brand foundation, all the fundamentals that these businesses need to give them a base to launch up and to the right to be more successful.
I love it. And then, so you mentioned that you have a couple partners as well. So talk about, you know, that story of starting Roadmap Agency and what it was like in the early days.
Yeah, so Roadmap Agency as a brand is under 2 years old, but the organizations that were before it was Helco Creative and Design, was a brand micro agency, and then Graphic Intuitions, which was a web development, custom software development, and digital demand agency. And okay. what I noticed with those two groups, and I was connected to them from, you know, years of life, is that if we could put them together, plus off the side of my desk, consulting, business consulting that I'm doing, we would have a powerful group that could really serve this need in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And of course, there was conversations over the years, and you know, I had done a podcast that was looking at that group of businesses and exploring and digging into it. Had to disenthrall myself from, you know, the corporate world and not wanting to be in that type of environment and go back to being entrepreneurial. And anyway, over a series of discussions, and we got together and we co-wrote a memorandum of understanding of the type of organization that we wanted to be. And then we developed the brand together, and we started with all that foundational work first before mm-hmm. we brought it to marketplace. And we worked parallel together before we were a company to see if we could work together. And then one of the other things that was really critical, because there's four of us as partners, we hired a coach to keep us accountable, keep us sane, to sort through any kind of disagreements we might have as we're becoming partners. And and that was critical, and helped us work through things and you know, become really strong as a core group. And of course, extending that with bringing in coaching to the overall team, so we all have the same shared language and can have that vision. Now, it's always ongoing, it's always evolving, but we wanted to build that foundation. We spent a lot of time building the foundation, which is what we, you know, prescribe to our clients. So of course, you better take your own medicine.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like, you know, when you guys first started out, you had a solid customer base, and then you merged these companies together to start Roadmap, which is really interesting. And then, so how has it evolved the way you guys bring in leads into your agency and then close those prospects? How do you continue to grow the agency?
So you need to look at how things happen. When you go to market with a new company, what happens is you've got your base of your network that becomes aware of what you're offering, and you pull your network, and that mm-hmm. brings in leads. And then, of course, people that have done business with you in the past, because there was a customer base with those two organizations, we were able to you know, cross sell to different groups these new suite of services. So there was a growth that happened from that, just, you know, from the existing customer base. You could be giving more to customers that didn't have access to things before, so you know, you get an increase there organically. Mm-hmm. Then what happens is, of course, you over deliver, and you do great work, and you start to get referrals, you get advocates. And I'm, you know, obsessive about tracking this stuff. And so, like, you know, I can go back to, you know, I'd say Q2 of 2022, 65% of our leads were referrals. Okay, I know amazing. What the close rate is from referrals. Well, that can sound amazing, or our demand gen sucks, right? One of the two, right? Mm. So the way we bring in leads is you know, through referrals and doing demand generation, which gets net new clients aware of us. And you know, I am a sales professional, so I do prospecting and cold outreach. So that's the three main methods.
Right. Interesting.
And yeah, and various demand generation, such as like webinars, being on podcasts, all that fun stuff. But yeah, referrals, demand gen, outreach.
Okay, very good. And then so for your cold outreach strategy, a lot of professionals, entrepreneurs find that to be really difficult. Do you have any, you know, tips or anything that you would recommend to someone who is considering cold outreach as a way to help bring in more leads into their agency?
Well, I mean, this cold outreach is a very specialization in of itself when it's done well. Mm-hmm. And you can start with using intent data that gives you a leg up that a prospect is interested in a category entry point into one of your services of your organization. And then, of course, you want to do an extensive amount of, I don't believe in automated drips. I believe in doing the work and really researching the prospect so that you can make sure you create a connection. You want to have something that really, really stands out. And I mean, minimally, you can have videos or, you know, like we talk about a unique subject line, but you got to go deeper than that. Because these people are getting spammed by who knows how many emails a day that are just on drips. So you've got to really research the prospect, form a connection, provide something of value, stand out in a certain way that essentially you got to market your outbound effort. Like if we're marketers, you should be able to be marketing with your outbound sales effort. And then, you know, persistence and connect on multiple channels. Like somebody may not see your email, well, you can connect on LinkedIn and your CRMs, like the CRM I use, I'm connected in right with baked into LinkedIn. So I have messages on multiple channels, you know, pay attention to what they're doing and try to connect with them physically. If they're going to be at their chamber of commerce and, you know, like that kind of stuff, like it outreach is, it takes a lot of work. People that try to automate it and, you know, just get canned messages, you know, it's they say it's a numbers game and, you know, you got to send out, you know, 500 emails to get one response, or you could put in like significant amount of research to really understand the problem you're solving for, like a customized problem solution for that specific prospect, and then articulate that in your outreach. So you're not going to get 500 cold emails in a week. You might get five that are really researched, but you're going to have a higher response rate.
Yeah, I love that. And I really like how you recommend connecting on different channels. I think that's really smart because, yeah, it definitely it takes time to build that trust and create that relationship. And, you know, in a place like LinkedIn, I think if you're just very persistent, you know, you're staying on their radar, commenting on things that they're posting, trying to deliver value over time, you're going to create that relationship. But you know, you just have to basically be very persistent, ensuring you're scheduling those follow-ups in your CRM and being, I think, as helpful and genuine as possible.
Yeah. The other problem that people in sales, don't do, a lot of people don't do this is, you know, you have your pipeline and that'll be either a product pipeline or a personal pipeline, but you need two pipelines. You need a prospecting pipeline where you keep all those touches in track where your goal is to get where you have an actual meeting booked. And then you need a sales pipeline where they've put up your hand and now you've got a legitimate interest in a legitimate deal that you're working that deal. But you need to have two pipelines. I have hundreds and hundreds of people in my prospecting pipeline versus what's in your sales pipeline.
Yeah. And then do you store those two pipelines in the CRM or are they separate?
No, they're in the CRM. So then I can do retargeting if I so choose or marketing to people in the prospecting pipeline.
Okay. Very good. Awesome. Well, so I would love to know, you know, how do you maintain those happy clients so that they are going to bring in referrals to you so that, again, you can continue to grow your agency?
Well, you need to design the experience that you're delivering. And that comes from my background in CX. But what you need to understand is that the entire experience that your agency provides needs to be immersive. And what I mean by that is like, it needs to be, so like when they see an ad or see the post on social or whatever that might be, when they first become aware or meet you physically at a networking or hear you speaking, to the point where then they get into your sales pipeline and have meetings and then they start to get into delivery and ongoing account management, that has to be a continuous experience that's the same. It can't be disjointed. There can't be holes in the plot line. So the experience you deliver has to be number one. The other thing is that you have to have, you know, listening posts for your customers so that you can understand how you can improve the experience that you're providing. So, you know, this simple thing is check-ins after, like with surveys after, you know, deliveries of a product or whatever, or a project. But what I find is the most powerful is we have a customer council. and we bring our customers together, our top customers, and we do this and we work together on what we need to improve and things they want to see. And there's ideas that pop out of that that are just profound that we wouldn't have come up with ourselves. Yeah. And, you know, I've run advisory boards in the past as a, you know, a corporate exec and stuff and a CX professional. So I always recommend that, but we go through it. We hone in on our personas and ideal client profile with them and mm-hmm. get more insights from them. We hone in on our operations. We hone in our marketing. You know, we find out like, they're like, no, we don't read your blogs, Steve, never, ever read your blogs, but you know, we sure like the videos you do. Do more of them. All right, yeah. Cool. Right. So, you know, you can tell that from metrics, but when you hear it from, you know, one of your top customers right from their mouth, well, that's so powerful. And you record that, you share it with your team, so you all get aligned as to how you develop a better experience for your customers. And it's co-designed then. It's co-developed with the people that matter, right? You know, they can tell you what to do better. You can tell them what they could do better too, right? You build mm-hmm. that relationship. So deep customer understanding, yeah, an immersive customer experience.
I love it. So with your customer council, your client council, how often do you meet with them? And I'd love to know a little bit more about what your experience has been like with the customer council.
Depending on the organization I've been with, sometimes you do that quarterly, but with our organization, we find annually is enough. Okay. And we might move it to biannually, and therefore, but I might be moving it to different types of customer tiers. So of course I've got my key accounts and I've got my tier one accounts and so I might be doing that, just to get a little more insight on the experience that we're providing or how we can help maybe folks that are only using portions of our services and, what might be holding them back from working with us more, or, you know, how to just increase their satisfaction with that level of service. So
yeah,
right now it's annually, but we are considering biannually, and that would supplement, it would be an instead of for a bunch of surveys that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you can send out the survey, but I think, you know, a lot of people, they get busy and it can kind of just be something that can get a little bit forgotten sometimes. So I love putting the council together and just getting that feedback straight from them. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. And we give the folks an honorarium and because, you know, their time is valuable, mm-hmm. but as their clients that are just, our clients are just amazing people and value aligned. They all donated their honorarium to charities. So, you know,
very good.
Yeah. So that was great. It was great to see that. It's great to have your faith rewarded that you work with great people and then that kind of thing happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Awesome. So I would love to know, what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Roadmap Agency?
You know, you hear this before, is knowing when you scale or knowing when you bring on people. That in itself is a challenge. So we future org chart. We map out what our future org chart would be and what it is that when we feel like we're going to need to add these positions. That doesn't always work, but you do that, and that's helped us a lot with planning as to when we bring more folks on, and that helped aligns you know, just the focus on, you know, where you are with your annual plan and with your 3-year strategy, and then when you scale. So, yeah, I would say that the biggest challenge has been that is knowing when to scale, and then continual refinement and deep customer understanding of, you know, what is it that you're really solving for your ideal client, and continuing mm-hmm. to niche down on that has been a challenge, because you don't want to say when you're starting, you don't want to say no to business, but saying no to business is often the best thing you can do when it's the wrong type of business.
Yes.
And so that's been one of the bigger challenges as well, is that saying no to business to continue to serve your ideal client more effectively and make sure they get more of your attention. Mm-hmm. And again, when you're starting out and you're growing and you're scaling, it's like, it's, you know, you're hesitant to say no to business, but you should, because then what you find is what you say no to opens up more opportunity to say yes to the things you should be saying yes to. And then serving your ideal clients better.
I love it. Great tips. So where do you see Roadmap Agency in 5 years time? What are your goals?
Well, we're growth oriented and we have a big audacious goal and all that kind of stuff. But the overarching thing behind growth is not growth for growth's sake, but growth to be able to right size and meet the purpose that we have at the level of execution that we want. So we're still growing and we're still getting better. And that I think that'll always be a case. And I also, like in my younger days, I used to climb a lot of mountains. So I say, you know, business is a mountain with no top. You better enjoy the climb because you're going to keep climbing. You're going to keep getting better and potentially going to keep getting steeper and harder, but enjoy the climb. So I'm kind of avoiding the question, where do I see myself in 5 years? A better version of ourselves, and that point in time, more in tune with what we consider right sized. Like I have no ambition of being, you know, the biggest agency in the world or anything like that. My ambition is for our agency to be right sized, so the goals of our clients can be met as effectively as possible. The goals of my team can be met as effectively as possible. And so we're serving that whole ecosystem, which is the world that Roadmap is in, which is, you know, our clients, society, and you know, first and foremost, our staff, and everybody's goals can be met. And, you know, we're doing that right now. And I just think we can continue to do better in the future.
Yeah. And I love how you say be better versions of yourselves. So you're just going to continue to grow, but just, you know, refine and improve on all the different areas that you can be to just be better versions of yourself and continue to serve your clients along the way.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you my big, hairy, audacious goal. I don't think it adds value to share it, but we have that articulated and, like, you know, it's a theme and we know those kind of things, but at the end of the day, you know, if there's a noble cause, it's to be a better version of ourselves so we can better serve all the stakeholders that we're involved in.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, we are getting ready to move on to the Fast Five. So I'll have five rapid fire questions for you in just a moment. But before we move on, do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
For folks that are listening, other agency owners and that kind of stuff, you know, the work, a professional service organization, I've ran a number of businesses in my career. I can say this is the hardest type of business I've ever run. And it's because of the expectation and the passion that you put into it with the passion that goes to the output of the product and service that you provide. But what I would say is that our community should connect and share and support each other more. So my words of wisdom are, is anybody wants to reach out and just chat about business and how we can all learn to get better, I am more than open to share and connect and, you know, be part of a community that helps all of us rise.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, I think it's so important to just, lean on each other because there's more than enough work to go around. And I think creating those strategic partnerships where you can be referring work back and forth, maybe it's not your area of specialty, I think is such a great way to just fast track your growth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, we're now ready to move on to the Fast Five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
You bet.
All right. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Depends on the area that I've been wanting to get better at. So for understanding business systems, scaling up and traction, scaling up is like drinking from a fire hose. Scaling and traction are two, the entrepreneurial operating system are two books that I recommend. Going back though, the book that started it all for me was Good to Great by Jim Collins. And then there's of course Built to Last and, you know, all his books are fantastic. For sales, the Challenger Sale is a really good one for helping you with sales, you know, with CX, Outside In, is a great one. I reread that one every year. Yeah. And there's the ones that you keep going back to, like that. So yeah, that's enough. There you go. I have a two-story bookshelf with a catwalk, so I'm
amazing recommendations. Love it. And what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine, I get up early and I generally write. And then I've got three small kids, so I deal with the morning madness of the kids. And then I try to bake and exercise by walking to my office, including today where it's like, you know, minus 22 and snowing, and I just bundle up and walk to my office. So I bake and exercise.
Awesome. And then, so when you say you wake up and you write, is that, you know, writing goals? What type of writing does that include, or does it vary?
I used to reflect on my goals every single day, and I found that I did that for 7 years straight. I have a monthly book for every month for over 7 years. Mm-hmm. I've disenthralled myself from that just recently, like the last 6 months, to give myself some mental space. Mm-hmm. And I write creatively. So I'll write like a social post or a long form blog it's creative writing in the morning.
Okay. Very good. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There's lots of CEOs that I've studied in the past. The challenge with a lot of profiled CEOs, like, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Jack Welch, Leah Iacocca, all that kind of stuff, they're more of a god than a guide for mm-hmm. businesses of my size. There's stuff you can extract. But scrolling through the folks that have been on this podcast, I follow a pile of them that are on this. Chris Walker would be someone in the space that I admire his point of view and how he goes about projecting it onto the digital world. And I just try to connect with other business leaders as much as possible.
Very good. And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool is the platform called HubSpot.
I love HubSpot. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I guess the one thing is just to not worry about what other people think.
That's a good one. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Just do it anyway. It might be uncomfortable at first, but you'll get used to it and it'll pay you back in the long run.
Well, and most people don't really care about what you think is so important. You just got to let go of it and go on your path and find people that align and make your mark.
Great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Steve. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show, and I've really enjoyed learning about your story. So thank you again for joining me for today's episode.
Thanks for the opportunity. Ton of fun.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.